anyone can get an outline that would like one. I hope. This is the last. When we first started, I was thinking, well, we'll get started on the book of Ecclesiastes, and then it arrived, and the 15th less sermon on the book. I was just going to get the gist of it. It turned out, get 15 lessons. So this is the last one, number 15 sermon. So let's just take a look at, these are, if I put in your notes, Solomon's final thoughts on youth, old age, and judgment. So here's the first section, just remember this, I titled it. So let's remember this in the days of our youth. Number one, verse one, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. So I just put a couple things to highlight or emphasize about youth remembering the Creator. First of all, it's possible. Sometimes we think, oh, the Bible is just for an older generation or adults, but yet the Bible gives an obligation to youth. In Psalm 71, oh God, you taught me from my youth. And to this day, I declare your wondrous works. So the young people have to be taught. Psalm 119, verse 9, how shall a young man cleanse his way? A young man. By taking heed to your word. Young people can learn. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture or the training or the admonition of the Lord. So fathers have an obligation to bring children up with God knowledge. Paul told Timothy, from a childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when you think, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, that's possible. Young people can do that. But second, the question comes, why? Anytime you make an obligation or put an obligation on someone, there you want to give them a rationale for that. And not, well, just because. they want more than that. So here, I've just given you some reasons. First ones are found in the text itself. Difficult days come. Yeah, so those are days when you get older and you have cares and concerns and responsibilities of adulthood. And they distract us from that priority that we had of remembering God in our youth. And when we get older, we might say, oh, the years are drawing nigh. I don't have any pleasure in worship or church attendance and things like that. I wasn't brought up for that. Well, you want to remember thy Creator in the days of your youth, before those days come. A second, I put, if God's not remembered now, it'll be more difficult later in life. Solomon said in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. We've heard the phrase, as the twig is bent, the tree will grow. So I would shudder to think where many people are today if they didn't receive a spiritual foundation in their youth. But I don't count them out. If those who were raised in the congregation or in the church and then adulthood, they have left or departed. No, I said, they had that early training, and I think it will come back someday. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes. So I don't want to put a judgment on those that have left, because they may come back. And what brings them back may be that early training they received. Something may jar them. Bring them to their senses to come back in favor with God. Number three, I put just a good habit, meaning it provides a solid foundation for the future. Learn God while you're young. Hopefully you haven't lost that habit. I'm going to learn God while I'm older too. Then number four, right now while young, youth have the greatest ability for learning and developing talents to be used in God's service. You can use them now, use them later. You realize and think for a moment how much knowledge children gain from birth to 10 years of age. From the time that we hold them in our hand at birth, now 10 years of age, look at all they've accomplished and learned. By comparison, it's a lot more than I've learned the last 10 years. So children learn. Number five, church leaders receive great joy, don't they, when they see young people serving God. You see them becoming leaders in the congregation. So we who are older, that gives us hope for the congregation. Same thing with parents. Number six, we receive great joy in seeing our children's faith and seeing their faith put to service. Yes. So Paul told Timothy, that I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, but it was first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also. That's right. So we want to have our children remember their Creator while they're young, before those other days come. Also, third thing, there's a danger in delaying your remembrance of God. Two things when you delay something. You either lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. And that's a situation in life, too. So sometimes we get older and we don't have the desire to learn anymore. We've lost that desire. We still have opportunity. Or we get older and our life is cut short, so now we've lost opportunity and the desire. Remember an opportunity I had to attend a funeral quite a while back. It was just across town. And I said, yeah, I'm going to go to that one. This is an acquaintance. Known over the years. And I thought, I'm going. God's got me in. It came the day of the funeral. It was going to be like 6 o'clock in the evening funeral, memorial service. Across town, traffic. And I don't go. Then I talked to some people that did attend, and I think, I wish I'd have gone. Now I have the desire, but I don't have the opportunity. Oh, the danger of delay. Either lose your desire or lose your opportunity. Do that. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The next thing that Solomon addresses in verses 3 through 5, remember this. In the days of older age. So now Solomon paints a rather poetic picture of the signs of growing old. And which become, I think these should become motivation for living every day to its fullest while we're able. Because these days are coming. And here's Solomon's picture. Beginning at verse 3. Says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. Ooh, the arms and the hands begin to tremble. Christine pointed that out to me the other day when I had a folder and had my notes there and I didn't have a pulpit or a stand and I was there and my hands were trembling. And then the car sent away. It says, do your hands always do that? Only when I don't have a pulpit and I'm holding something out there like that, they sometimes tremble. Then when the next phrase Solomon uses, the strong men bow down. Well, that might have reference to our midsection or our legs that are used to support the body. So we can't bear the weight that we used to or support the task at hand, so we begin to stoop. Or we use a cane that looks like a handsaw. You might know somebody like that. Next one, the phrase he uses still in verse 3, the grinders cease because they're few. That's right, we lose teeth. Of course, nowadays you can get implants. Next phrase in verse 3 says, and those that look through the windows grow dim. That's right, sometimes the eyes get a haze or get fuzzy or we need glasses. Yeah. And those that, and then verse 4, and the doors in the streets. Our ears need hearing aids. The sound of grinding is low. So I just put, I'm not sure where I decided this sounded good to me. You can't chew the loud, hard food anymore. So it's the quietness of soft food. Maybe that's what he had in mind. I don't know. Solomon didn't explain these illustrations, he just listed them. It says, and when one rises up at the sound of a bird, perhaps that may be any sound that wakes you up, or you really do get up with the birds. The daughters of music are brought low. Yeah, you can't sing those high notes anymore. Voice begins to quiver and crack or weaken. Verse 5, he continues, and we're afraid of heights. I don't climb the ladder anymore. I don't ride the Ferris wheel at the carnival. The height. And we're afraid of the terrors of the way, so we don't ride and walk with the former boldness that we used to have. We now that we're older, we use a lot more caution and put in security measures. We're just more cautious. Yeah, we're afraid of the terrors of the way. And then when the almond tree blossoms, your hair is white or gray, if it's still there. Or your wife looks at you and says, nice almond tree, huh? Sharon, you can use that on Jim. Nice almond tree, huh? Yeah. Or she may be calling you a woodhead or a blockhead. I don't know. The grasshopper is a burden. So I'm thinking maybe the smallest things are difficult now, or by summer's end, the grasshopper loses its hop. Instead of a grasshopper, becomes a grass nymph, something like that. Desire fails. Next one. Claire, do you want to explain this one while you're here? Drugstores are open for this or that one, if you want to. No comment. Trying to be a wise man. The man goes to his eternal home, the funeral home, and then the house of eternity. Yeah, that is funny. And the mourners go about the streets. Yeah, there's that funeral procession too. And the mourners. And then there's precious memories in the streets. We have those. So this story. There was an elderly couple that were going to get married. Jacob was 92 years old and Rebecca was 89.
Wow.
So they discussed their wedding. They're walking down the street and passed a drugstore, so Jacob suggested they go in. So when they talked to the man behind the counter, Jacob said, we're getting married. Do you sell heart medication? The pharmacist said, well, yes, of course we do. Jacob said, well, how about medicine for circulation? Man said, all kinds. He said, medicine for rheumatism and scoliosis? Oh, definitely. Medicine for memory problems, arthritis, jaundice? Well, yes, we have a large variety, whatever the doctor orders. He said, what about vitamins and sleeping pills and Geritol? And said, absolutely. Wheelchairs and walkers? He said, all speeds and sizes. And Jacob said, great. We'd like to use this store as our bridal registry. Oh, man. In the next section, in verses 6 through 8, in verse 6, Solomon says, remember your Creator, well, that's what, before. All right, before these things happen. And now he gives you some imagery. Images of death or metaphors. So remember your Creator before these things happen. And I'm not sure what all of these things mean, but in verse 6, before the silver cord is loosed, yeah, maybe the silver hair, something is loosed. There was a song I remember from my youth. I had to look it up in one of my old songbooks. And the song was titled, Someday the Silver Cord Will Break. And he says, someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall awake within the palace of the king. So we want to remember God before death takes. And he uses that illustration before the silver cord breaks. And he said, second stanza, someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all, meaning God, has now a place in heaven for me. And then the chorus is, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. I shall see him face to face, save and tell the story, saved by grace. Someday the silver cord will break. So Solomon gives these illustrations. The golden bowl is broken. I remember my Aunt Trudy when she was getting up in age, Ms. Orton Blythe, she's passed away, but now she said to me, Brian, these are not the golden years. Because of all the aches and the pains and the doctor's visits. These are going to say, oh, the golden years. Oh. So Solomon said, the golden bowl is broken. Said, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain. Wow. Untimely. Oh, I need that pitcher. Yeah. Or the wheel is broken at the well. Right when I needed these things the most. They're broken. Or loosed. Or shattered. So just put in your notes, perhaps it's the bittersweet nature of loss that makes the present more precious. So we want to use the present to remember our Creator before these images take place and we die. In verse 7, it says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And you know, anytime death takes place, a separation takes place. And the word death just by itself means separation. Anytime something dies, something's separated. And so when we die, you know, the body separates from the spirit or the breath of life, or sometimes we might say the soul. You know, in the beginning, Genesis 2 verse 7 says, Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man a living soul. So when we die, the body remains here, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And it's interesting we say that because sometimes morticians or people in the funeral business will refer to the body as the remains. You see, that which remains, what do you want to do with the remains? Meaning, that's here. And the spirit returned to God who gave it. When Jesus died, I'll give you that illustration. I put that in your notes. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice. He said, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. Having said that, he breathed his last. And then in verses 52 and 53, the man named Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever been laid before. So even when Jesus died, the phrase was, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, but the body remained here. And Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, took it down from the cross and placed it in the tomb. See, when death takes place, there's a separation. We even think physically there's a separation of friendships, family reunions, those kinds of things. Relationships are separated. But initially it's the soul or the spirit that's separated from the body. And the body remains here for burial, waiting for the grand judgment day. So Solomon reminds us of life and death and burial and our eternal spirit that's in the hands of God. Then the next one in verses 9 through 12, Solomon wants us to remember that his words are wisdom. In verse 9, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. And yet he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Ah, the wisdom of Solomon. Knowledge. The book of Proverbs begins this way, Proverbs 1, verse 1. The proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And then he says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise despise wisdom and instruction. So Solomon here in the beginning of verse 9 of our text says that you'll remember these words of Solomon, their knowledge. Their knowledge. In verse 10 he adds to it. Says the preacher ought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. Ah, oh, Solomon, what do you think of what you're about to say or write here? Oh, they're words of knowledge, they're acceptable, they're words of truth. In verse 11, he said, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. You know what the one shepherd, that would have reference to the Lord. Especially in Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You, meaning God, who led Joseph like a flock. You who dwell between the cherubim. Shine forth, shepherd. The psalmist said, what I'm giving you is a heavenly message. Words are like goads, like the stick that a shepherd would use to prod the oxen to stay on task. So these words are significant and practical to you and me. They guide us in a way of life and a way to think. The words are like well-driven nails. In other words, these words are able to fasten down and secure, and so that we are not dislodged from our direction or our path or our course of right. And we can say this today. Boy, they nailed that when they said something. Well, Solomon, you nailed it. You nailed it. And then the next one in verse 12, he says, and further, my son, be admonished by these. So these are words of admonishment. It means to be forewarned or reproved or instructed. If you're admonished, you take heed to the warning that's being given. Well, that's what Solomon's words are in Ecclesiastes. He says, of making many books, there's no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Favorite verse of college students. Or anyone who's taking a course. You know, as much study is wearisome. Someone asked me one time, said, Brian, do you fall asleep when you're writing your sermons? So my sermon puts you to sleep. Let me put me to sleep too when I'm writing them. I appreciate what Clarence said many, many, many months ago in his teaching class. And I've said this before, but I still remember it. In fact, I even wrote it in my notes. He said, I read the newspaper, but I Bible. That's right. Many books? Yeah, there's no end. I can read books, but I study the Bible. Read the newspaper, put it down. What do you do with yesterday's newspaper? You don't read it. Well, that's yesterday's paper. No. The last one, remember Solomon's conclusion? Fear God. We understand that. And I just listed some verses for you for that. Keep His commandments. Jesus said that. If you love me, keep my commandments. For this is man's all. A couple other translations. One says this is the whole duty of man. Another one says this is the whole of man. So whether rich or poor, or high or low, the matter is for me to fear God and keep His commandments. It's my all in all. You know, we sing the song, Trust and Obey. The first stanza, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's Solomon's conclusion. And that closes out the book of Ecclesiastes. Don't know what I'm going to do next Thursday evening. Silver cord may break. Alright, always at the close of a lesson we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. You've heard this invitation so many times, but we always repeat it and say it, but if you have not obeyed the gospel, you've not been baptized for remission of sins. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, you can accomplish that this evening. Just need to have your response known. If you want to ask present for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. Just simply, again, let that be known. You can do it by raising your hand at the end of the song, or just come and have a seat beside me and let your request be made known then. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that's like to